Good morning. As your pastor, one of the things in which, as I prepare sermons and as I lead us and shepherd us, the things that get me excited is hearing how God is moving in your lives. This morning, as I was preparing for this service, man, God was really restoring that feel in my life this morning. Not to say it went away, but it was a reminder as I was preparing for this morning. I'm excited to know that God is working in your lives, whether we hear about it, whether we know about it. I just know God is moving this morning. I know God is putting things in your life. God is talking to you, and He's wanting to see you do His work. He's wanting to see His work stir up a life in you this morning. That song, Firm Foundation, that line, I feel it in us right now. I really do. And some of it, I think, has to do with the fact that we have focused on prayer and fasting. To understand that we need to take time to be alone with God, take time acknowledging God, take time to communicate with our Savior. It always means more when we have time with Him. Our life is more fresh. Our life is more aware of what He's doing when we have that moment with Him that is personal. This series, for me, is a great preparation to understand more fully what Easter has. What Easter means to us. It's so much more than eggs. It's so much more than tradition. It is a realization that death does not bind us anymore. That sin has no rule in here anymore. And I want you to know, yes, I know these things, but man, it becomes even more fresh the more I spend time with God. And I'm not here boasting. I'm here testifying this morning. Because it is only through God that I'm able to feel this. It is only through God that I'm able to have communication. I'm able to have that prayer time with Him. He has installed in me this desire to be with Him. And He's done the same thing for you. Out of Genesis 28:16 says this, "Then Jacob woke from his deep sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gates of heaven.'" First off, to me, that just resounds in this moment to understand this is the place of God this morning. We are in His presence. Some of us, that should make us a little weak in the knee, a little nervous, a little, okay, if God is truly here today, can I face Him? Can I acknowledge Him? Or is there so much stuff here that, I don't want to be in His presence because it's a reflection of where I'm not needed to be. Some of us, man, we are overwhelmed and we are speechless and we are at a point in our walk with God that we just were like, yes! And I'm hoping that we are all getting to that point. But I want you to know, as we've talked about prayer and fasting, that's what prayer and fasting gets us to. It gets us to this understanding of how amazing God is. And it's about a relationship with God and understanding how much He loves us and how much He wants us and how much He wants to move us from where we are stuck in sin and get us out of that and to live beyond that. And what's awesome about God, too, is we understand is that it's not just a one-time deal. It's not that He does this and goes, okay, well, He messed up again. I'm done with Him. We serve a God that is continually giving us grace and mercy and love. And understand, it is not by our own that we can live this life. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can live this life that is pure. And it is the only thing that we can boast upon. That is through Jesus that I can be kind today. It is through Jesus that I can be loving today. It is through Jesus that I'm free from sin today. And my hope is that you know that, and my hope is that you see that, and we sit here in this presence understanding. Maybe we missed it, but God is here. And if we missed it, we should be afraid too. Right? This morning we're going to talk about what it means to have prayer life and fasting. All right? Prayer and fasting. And as I was preparing this, I started thinking about my times that I pray the most are when Michelle's driving. That was mean. I'm sorry. It's when Jackson's driving. All right? Hi, Jackson. He looked up there. Really, what the times that I pray the most is when I'm alone in the car. I don't close my eyes. We're good on that. But I don't know what it is, but if there are days even I don't want to get out of the car. I want to just go for a long drive because I understand, man, I'm sitting, the person that's in the seat with me is my maker and my creator, and he's having a conversation with me, and all I'm doing is listening. Sometimes it starts off with me going, God, why? God, please. God, I need. But there's also those days where all suddenly that subtle voice starts speaking to me and goes, you're loved. I have a plan for you. You've been redeemed. Don't let that sin seep back in. I've got you. And I love those days, and I never want to get out of the car in those moments, right? And as I was preparing this and I was thinking about prayer and fasting, I started thinking about how we get in our car of our life and we just start going. And life just starts hitting us, and we get really laser focused on stuff. Some of us, right? I don't know about all of us. There are drivers out in this life, they're like, ooh, butterfly, right? And then there's others like, I didn't see that butterfly. I got a road ahead. Did I hit it? Right? And they wouldn't even know it. And I started thinking about what it looks like as we're driving. And I've had those moments where people are in other cars and they want to convey a message to me. Right? And they'll pull up and they're probably like rolling down their window and they're yelling at me. And I'm like, what is their problem? And you don't really want to acknowledge me because I don't want that awkward feeling of acknowledging whether I did something wrong. Are they crazy? Are they going to hurt me? What's going on, right? And so you just kind of like speed away and hope that you, and then you look in your rearview mirror and you're like, are they following me? Anybody else? Just me? All right, no, I got a lot of head shakings, right? Right? You know, and it turns out you had the baby's car seat on your roof. Oh, I got a couple people looking up. Like, we get to the point that we're so, like, thinking and cautious about what's on this outside, and we don't want that awkwardness in the reality in that moment. It's like they were trying to say, hey, what are you doing? You got a baby on your roof, right? Or coffee, right? Same value, right? No, it's wrong. Right? I want you to know I start off my day not in a great way. I get in my car, and I spill a whole cup of coffee, and I was like, well, there goes that morning, right? So I'm on my third cup anyway, so we're good, right? But spilling my whole floorboard smells great now. So it's a little sticky, but anyway, like, it's those moments, like, we go ahead and assume it's going to be something rude, or they're going to yell about my driving, or my blinker's out. I don't want to know it, right? But they were trying to just be helpful. And I started thinking about this with prayer life with us, right? And I think it's funny that the disciples needed to learn how to pray. Think about that. The disciples needed to learn how to pray. And the more I started thinking about that in my ministry, I've heard people say, I just don't know how to pray. And I started going, where did it become a formula? And Jesus gave it really simplistic, right? He told us, This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First and foremost, do you know what that is? That's adoration. That is praise. That is acknowledging who God is in your life, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is not to be taken lightly. This is to show how holy our God, our Father, the one who created us, is. And it is letting him know we see it, we know it, we believe it. You are amazing. I've seen what you've done in my life. I've seen what you've done in others. I've seen miracles done that God has done. And I'm excited to share it. And I'm excited to know that, hey, God, you're amazing. So what a way to start off a prayer. Because who's the focus of that prayer? Not me. Not you. Our King. Our Father, our Creator. That's how we start conversation with God. Letting him know we acknowledge you are everything. You are holy. Right? Then we go into, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts. Stop right there. Give us our daily bread. That goes into our needs, not just physically, but also spiritually. I've talked about this before. This was considered the bread of life. The word of God was considered the bread of life. And so Jesus said, like he's telling them, listen, you need to have the word daily. You need it in you. You need to understand that it's sustaining your spiritual life. This is not what we worship, but this is what we help to worship our Creator. This helps us understand how he communicates with us. This helps us understand how we are called to live. If you read out of this Matthew part, this is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is telling us how God has designed us to live. How much he wants us to live. I implore you, Matthew 5 through 7, those chapters, if you want to know what God wants out of you, read those. Read those. And there's a lot of red if you got the red letter Bibles. You know who's speaking that? Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Our Savior, the Son of God. He was in the beginning. He'll be in the end. He knows all. He is all. Do you think you should listen to him? Amen. Amen, right? This is acknowledging, hey, this needs to have a home. Not just planted on your coffee table, not just planted on your desk, not just planted in a place to get dusty. And I'm not here to convict you. I'm here to let you know God wants this to be written all over your heart and all over your mind, and that when we live this life, we know how to respond the way God has made us. I don't know about you. I have had to put IKEA furniture together. And I don't get those instructions. And I'm also a man. I don't read those instructions. I just tend to put it together. And the other aspect of who I am, I always put it together backwards, no matter what it is. And then I'm like, at the end of it, I go, oops, I got to take it all apart. And then put it right back the way it's supposed to be, if the parts fit now, right? I think we also tried to do the same thing with Scripture with us. We're like, I know God is moving, and I'm not a good reader, and I'll just listen for him, and hopefully that subtle voice I will hear, which God can do, right? He can. There are people in Scriptures that didn't know what Scriptures was, and they moved in their culture because God is bigger than this, but he has put this in our life for a reason. And it's not an excuse to not read it. Right? So, don't be like me with IKEA. Be the way God has called us, even in our simplest of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, feed me spiritually. May I see and hear your word. May you help me translate it. May you help me understand in a way that I can comprehend what the message that I'm reading in this moment. I had a really awesome youth pastor growing up, and he put it this way too. Not every meal is a meal that you're going to take a picture of, right? But do you still need those meals to sustain you, to get you through the day? Absolutely. Guess what? Scripture is going to be the same way sometimes with us. We might read something, and it goes straight out of our brain and straight away, but the reality is it helps sustain us through those weeks, through those days, through that understanding. And then there's going to be those times where we read, man, it changes our life and the perspective, and we grow, and we're like, where was that hidden before? Right? Man, those, and you might be tired that you've not had that meal in a while. I keep imploring you, pray this prayer. Pray this prayer that God reveals that daily bread in you, and you're like, okay, all right. Prayer is not meant to just be for dinner time and supper time and before meals or when you wake up and when you go to sleep. You know what I think prayer is? I think prayer is life. I think it's this constant communication with our Maker and our Redeemer. If you read the rest of this chapter that we're talking about, he goes on this laundry list. And if you were here last Sunday, Harrison went on it. He showed the correlation of where life is moving with this prayer. And understanding, man, this prayer opens up the door for us to be revealed in ways that we're not bound by the culture. We're not bound by the needs that we think this society needs. We understand God is the ultimate provider, right? We read about how he'll dress and feed nature. Why should we worry about it? Like, this prayer opens those things up. And forgive us our debts, as we have also have forgiven our debtors. Man, this goes right to the relationship with God. And this puts us in our spot. This puts us right where we belong, needing his forgiveness. Understanding that we are not up to the capability of living beyond what God is. We are not our own God. We are not the person that nobody in here is perfect. Nobody is. And I will tell you, there are people that it's easy to point out the imperfections of others, but the reality is they need to start here with God in their relationship and go, God, please forgive me. Imagine every instance that you have or any thought that you have being held against you in a court of law. Well, no, you didn't murder them, but you really thought it. Have you ever been there? Like, if those were held against you, would we be sitting here as free people? Probably not. I wouldn't, right? But God continues to move and continues to allow us to be forgiven of those thoughts, be forgiven of those issues and that judgment and that hate and that anger that we hold, and then goes and says, hey, because I forgive you, guess what you need to do? You need to forgive others. And so then it's this relationship between me and God, and then he says, listen, between me and God, I'm going to force you to also live out that relationship with others. And this is a point that you're like, I don't want to pray that. Because then I have to be what God has desired me to be and step out in this world where I don't want to necessarily just give up that hurt or give up that frustration or give up that pain because they don't care. And I'm going to tell you right now, just because if they don't care and they don't seek your forgiveness, if you're able to forgive them, guess what that means? That means all those chains, that hate, that anger that resides in there, you are free from it. You are free from it. This is the prayer that Jesus is telling us. This is such a powerful prayer. Because it frees us of that hate. And then guess what? We are no longer bound by that, and we see those people and we're no longer bound by it, and that relationship's redefined on our side by God. Think about that. That relationship is redefined by God on our side. They may still live in that horrible mess, but you don't. And then you get to approach that person with what? Grace, peace, love, and all that hate and that anger and that frustration, everything they've done to you doesn't have power over you. Man, this is a powerful prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Think about praying this every day. Think about if we live this out every day, how our choices would be different, how we would react to people in a different way. If we prayed and asked God, please deliver me from my temptation. In the moment of feeling tempted, please deliver me from my temptation. Do you understand? Jesus understands temptation. He was tempted. And do you know what he did? He prayed in that moment. Can you imagine being out in a desert with no food, nothing, and then being tempted, hey, you know what? If you confirm that I am the greatest, this is Satan talking to him, I will give you food. You could just say it. You could just give this food, right, in this moment, and you can make it and you can eat. And what did he do? Do you think he was hungry? Absolutely. But he said, no, I won't be tempted by you. I know my God is bigger. I know I have a plan in my life. Deliver me from this evil one. Do you imagine what kind of faith that takes? We have this even probably more minute moments where we give up our faith because, man, we are struggling with believing that God is bigger than our simple little problems. Right? Imagine having, God says it, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And I love my stepdad and my mom. They give me little things like I got this little coin that was the mite that the lady has. Like, but he gave me a little seed, and it fits on my pinky finger. It's so small. And Jesus Scripture says, if I have the faith as small as a mustard seed, guess what can be moved? Mountains. If I pray it, if I believe it, if I know it, right? You know what those mountains are in today's world? If we make the right choice that God is involved in and not being saying yes to the temptation that we deal with. I think temptation today is our mountains that we struggle with. Imagine having in our prayer life this being said on a daily moment, right? Hey, I'm going to treat coworkers today well. And having that temptation to be like, no. And God, and you pray it, man, deliver me. Deliver me from these thoughts, this motive, this way that I'm living. There are moments in my life that I'm very optimistic. There are also other areas in my life that I'm very pessimistic. And I realize that, and God has to move in me. And if you don't know what that means I think God, like, things can be in the bright and sunny side. And I also think this is never going to change. It's always going to be the issue. And I think there's a point in our lives, and this is the pessimistic side of me, that God is moving and God is changing. And I think there are miracles in my own eyes, but there are age when we decide, okay, I am solidified in the way I live. I'm solidified in the way that I think. And I will not be moved from this, right? And no matter how sound an argument is, no matter how sound spiritual issues are with it, I am who I am, right? I think when we pray this and we believe it and it's constant in our life, we are required to change. We are. Because God moves if we pray. God is wanting to move. This is the issue. We, just like the driving, I think we live a life in the car of life, and just like we see God kind of coming up and inching up, and he's yelling, and we're like, okay, window up. Don't see me. I don't want to know that my life is in the wrong lane. We're good, right? But when we pray this and we believe this and we know this, right, this is the moment that we open the door and shut the radio off and even put us in the park and we go, okay, come on in. I am all ears. I'm in tuned. Am I going the wrong way? Let me know. Am I thinking the wrong way? Let me know. Am I approaching a situation the wrong way? Let me know. Imagine if we truly were able to allow God into our life in this moment, and he says, listen, Ben, the way you like you make jokes or the way that you are so negative sometimes, I don't want that in you because that's not how I created you to be. Be different because I am different in your life. And I want you to know, it only takes God for me in some of these instances to do what God wants out of me. And I give him all the praise in those moments that I'm like, I didn't say a mean thing there. And I was thinking it, and God prevented me, and he's bigger than me, and I'm able to do it because of what he's doing in me. And I want to continue to ask this prayer in this moment. Lead me out of temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. You see, this isn't one that prayer that we just do on a Sunday. This isn't a prayer that we do in the morning at dinner. Or this kind of prayer is my daily walk, my moment to moment experience of life with God. You see, prayer equals life. That's what it means. It's not just this occasion of coming to him and acknowledging. Now listen, there are moments that God has said, Jesus even says in Scripture, make a private room for yourself. Make it just where you can have that moment with God alone. I totally agree with that, absolutely. But I don't think we're defined and restricted to just that moment. I don't think God just wants just that moment. I think he wants that special moment to be even more in tune with him. And that's why we also fast. Fasting is not about, again, fasting is not about me. It's not about losing weight. It's not about getting rid of some habit. You know what fasting is? It's a reward. A reward. If you read Scripture, there's a reward to it. You are concentrating. You are sacrificing what your life, your time, your stuff to be alone with God. God is the reward. To understand the importance of who God is in your life and to be consciously going, hey, I am going to give this up, not to make myself better, but to make myself be alone with God. To struggle in this moment is that God is glorified in this moment, that he gets all the praise in this moment. And I do this not for everybody else to see. I do this to have a private moment with God. That's why I'm never going to ask you, hey, what are you fasting? There's part of me is like this morning as your pastor, especially I'm like tempted, I would love to see who's all fasting. I would. But that makes it about us, and there's a pride thing there, and there's like, oh, please, I want to see where God is moving. But the reality is this, too. I know God is moving, and it doesn't matter if you fast, but you know what happens in your spiritual walk with God when you do fast? Man, you get stronger because you're codependent on God. Right? In the weakness of whatever you've given up. Which food was the original, right? You gave up food for a certain amount of period, and that's tough. And you know what you're supposed to do when you feel hungry while you fast? Understand, hey, in this weakness, in this frustration, in this ache, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be with my Maker, and he's going to fulfill me. You see, you understand, like, in this points us to understand that life is not easy. If we seek him out in those moments too, he fulfills us. Where this world, we think, fulfills us, It's a reminder of the trueness of who really fills us. Who's the provider of that? Who's the maker of all that, right? That's why we fast. It's not just to put it on our awards of being a better Christian. It's not to put it on Facebook. It's not to celebrate it of spiritual up and comings. It's about having a closer relationship with God. In those moments that we ache, in those moments that we feel the pain of not doing what we want to do, that's fasting. So we have prayer, we have life through prayer, we have fast, we have the reward. See, God loves us so much, He resuscitates us with prayer. This is what we have. So when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. They will disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they will receive their reward in full. You don't want that. You know what that is? That is the empty praises of those around you. And it's here today and gone tomorrow. All right? But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, your Father who sees what is done in the secret and will reward you. Listen. God desires you to be alive today. And my challenge as your pastor is this. Pray this. Put this on your heart. Put this where you can see it. Put this scripture. Live Matthew out. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. It's a simple prayer, but really it is such power in this prayer to acknowledge who He is. That He's your Redeemer. He's loving you. He sent His Son to die for you. See, God really wants to be in our life. And His desire is not just, He wants to guide you and direct you. And this is what's awesome about God. He allows us to make those choices or not. That's a true relationship. There's no manipulation. There's no guilt a part of it. The natural part is when we do say no to God, and guess what naturally comes? Guilt. Because we understand God had a better way for us. God has a better design for us. And all of a sudden, the choices that I have made has caused a friction. And the choices that I'm doing, it's causing friction. And it is my choice to be whether or not with God or not. And naturally, when we're not with God, guilt comes along with that. It's natural. And we might start, you know what's easy for us to do in those moments? Defend. I have learned through years of marriage on my own part that when there's an issue, my first natural reaction is to do what? Not say yes. I was justified in what I did. Right? Anybody else? And I don't think it's just the man. I think anybody has this issue. If we come and we're ready for a fight, and like, listen, those clothes didn't need to be picked up yet. I still have 3 more days. Right? No? Like the first thing, imagine if I went into that moment and go, listen, you're right. I should have gotten it done. I'll get it done right now. What did I just do there? Which is so hard for us to do. I submitted. Imagine if we lived a life with God that was one of submission. If God was speaking to us, when God speaks to us, and He wants us to do something or do or let go of something, or He wants us to move beyond something, and we say, no, wait a minute, I am justified for what I'm doing. Guess what we just did there? We put ourselves in the throne of where God resides, and we know better than God. This is the thing. This is what's awesome about God, too. We have a tendency to think we know ourselves the best. Do you know who knows us the best? God. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. Trust me on that. He knows every hair that he has made upon your head. Every single one of you. He knows everything about you. And despite that, he loves you. Because of that, he loves you. We have a creator that is so intentional about detail. Think about this. All of us have different fingerprints. Every single one of us. That's how intentional he is with us. This is how much God loves you. And when we say no and we defend ourselves, I want you to understand what we just did there. We told the creator and the maker that we know better than him. We don't. We don't. But we have a creator and maker. Even when we do that, he still continues to work on us and still continues to live in our lives and love us right where we're at till we get to the point that we are going to move. And as the pessimistic pastor or pessimistic Ben, I know, and I if I have a little bit of faith, I know God can move our mountains and he can change us today. He can. So the things in which you might be dealing with that you're not ready to give up, God is bigger than those things, and he doesn't want them to reside in your life. He wants you to be free from them. And when we pray this, we find life in that. And again, it is every moment we are living. It is every moment that we're awake during the day. See, Jacob that I read in Genesis 28, he was asleep and God moved. And he goes, I missed it. Listen, we don't want to miss it. We cannot be asleep at the wheel of life. We need to be aware. And the way to do that is to have prayer life. We have to be awake. And when we pray and when we are aware, guess what? We expect God is going to move. We know God is going to move. It's a matter of how God moves. Sometimes we don't want to see it. Right? This morning, understand God is bigger than the needs that we think we need. He's bigger than the sins that we deal with. God loves you right here. He wants to release you of all those things. Continue to have that understanding and continue to pray this and know it and breathe it out and believe that God is bigger than those things. And put this prayer a part of your life. In every situation, imagine approaching the kingdom and go, God, I don't want to deal with that. How do I deal with it? Okay, pray this. Know that I'm bigger. Know that I am here to give you your daily bread of how to live it out. Right? Know that you are forgiven first, and then go and forgive others. And deliver you from the temptations of doing the wrong thing in that moment. Right? Stand with me, church. Hold on, can I have that back? All right. We're going to pray this morning, all right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Believe this morning. Let this be written all over you this morning. And when you go out, may you have a life that's filled with prayer. Church, you're dismissed.